Flawedcast, extra shots. Leave the world behind.
Flawedcast, get in the arena.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to this extra shot edition of Flawcast. And I haven't been in regular rotation in a minute. We took a bit of a hiatus over the holidays, much needed for us. And, you know, our listenership and how attentive everybody is really dropped, understandably so. And we just decided everything going on in the world right now, and with everything that was going on in our personal lives, that Carl and I just needed to say, hey, we're taking the holidays off, and we're going to come back and hit the ground running next year, which is a happy new year to everybody. But we're going to get into that in the next episode that we are together, which should be coming very, very soon. Kind of wanted to wet everyone's palate. Just do a real kind of a quick welcome back. And just want to let everybody know you can find us anywhere podcasts are under Flawed Inc. or Flawedcast, CLE. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Anchor.fm. You can find us on the video platform Rumble. And there is a link in the description below. Get a copy of my book, Smith's Heart of Man Repair Manual. Our email is flawedincle@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you're more than welcome to email us there. And I do these extra shots episodes intermittently when I see something in pop culture, or I see some kind of a media item that I think this is worth discussing. This definitely falls in the parameters of things that we talk about. And the missus and I watched this movie called Leave the World Behind, and it is on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, I would not pay the extra money to get this movie to see it if I were you. But maybe what I'm about to share with you will entice you and you would want to do that. But I certainly don't think that this is any kind of a remarkable movie, or not like anything that you haven't seen before. But I do think there are some significantly interesting things that you have to really be discerning. And I believe as we move into 2024, and I know Carl and I are going to be really discussing this and hitting the ground running with the things that we're going to be discussing, that's, you know, God's laid on our heart and things that we've observed. But this is a movie where you have to look at the sum parts and not the whole. I'm going to start to break these down, these observations, but this is a movie, once again, it's called Leave the World Behind. It had a really, really strong cast. Julia Roberts was in it. Mahershala Ali was in it. Ethan Hawke, Kevin Bacon. So, you know, there's some pretty impressive talent right there. I've always, you know, really appreciated Ethan Hawke as an actor, and Kevin Bacon, when I was doing my old podcast, The Rock Office, you know, I had opportunity to interview Kevin Bacon. Super nice guy, and really talented in so many facets. But this is an interesting movie. Now, this was written and directed by a guy named Sam Ishmael. You know, some of his other credits include a TV show called Mr. Robot, another film called Comet. He was picked to direct this movie. And, you know, basically, this is based on a 2020 novel by Rahman Alam. And basically, this is a psychological, pre-dystopic, pre-apocalyptic thriller that talks about and describes the subtle and not so subtle beginning processes of the breakdown of society. Now, an interesting thing to take note right off the bat, and part of the reason why I decided to watch this, is because this is the first movie that has been produced by former President Barack and First Lady Michelle Obama. They were the executive producers through what they call their Higher Ground Productions. And this is interesting because there's some other pictures and other movies and things that, in regarding entertainment, that the Obamas are going to have a hand in that are coming out this year that are kind of in the same vein. It's very pre-predictive, but I just thought it was interesting, and I am no fan of Barack and Mike, Big Mike, as he's affectionately called. And rumor has it that Big Mike, a.k.a. Michelle, might be involved with the 2024 presidential election. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that all wraps out. But that isn't really what I wanted to get to. So the basic premise of this movie is that Ethan Hawke and Julia Roberts are married. They live in very heavily populated New York City, this, you know, very fast-paced, you know, high-profile, high-society type living, and they decide to get away for the weekend with their two kids, and they get an Airbnb or Vrbo from Mahershala Ali's character, unbeknownst to them. The long story short, the first night that they're there, they're supposed to get away for a long weekend. Mahershala Ali's character just shows up in the middle of the night, the guy who they rented the Airbnb from, and just talks his way back into getting into his house, which we learn is somewhat of a fortified redoubt in regards to, once again, it's the beginning of a societal breakdown. There is no cell phone. There's no internet. There is no landline, modern conventional methods of communication, electricity, as you see throughout the special reports and the news that they are able to get bit by bit, piece by piece. There's been different attacks. I'm going to get into that, but it's basically made where they're at. The electric is cut off, water, like the basics, the essentials of survival, as we know in modern society, are eliminated. However, Mahershala Ali has created this redoubt, if you will, this huge house, this big house, and then just has seemingly everything prepared. And then the other character, Kevin Bacon, who we see at the beginning of the movie, you know, I'm going to get into that in a moment, but they also show him buying, you know, cases and cases of water and food, and like, oh, this crazy guy, it looks like he knows what's going on, and he looks just like the typical American dude. I don't know how to say it, like he's that Trump MAGA, you know, America First, you know, looking kind of a guy. This is who he is portraying, and it's going to be interesting, but we get into that. But the reason this is important is not to get viewership for this movie. It's not to say, oh, look what the Obamas are doing and cheerleading any of their efforts. It is simply because, as I'm sure you'd learned or known if you've listened to the show any amount of time, everything that these globalists do, they do it on a pre-predictive method, meaning they announce what they will do before they do it. And I believe this movie, if you're discerning and you're paying enough attention, you're going to begin to see that this potentially is what is going on here, because some of the stuff just hits too hard. So just to kind of get into this, the movie opens with this animation type graphic design that shifts from different symbols to symbol to it's a well done introduction, but it's interesting because some of the images, once again, this is where you have to be astute. This is where you have to be discerning and look at what's going on. You begin to see that in this intricate production, this introduction, they show American flags. When you look at them, they're upside down America flags, which is a sign for distress, but it's also another sign that people take as the country is overthrown. You know, and then these things morph, you know, computer generated into, you begin to see where there's upside down crosses, and there's just things that can be interpreted as, once again, predictively trying to warn or let you know that this is not right. There's something, you know, your belief system or what you may hold fast to is going to be corrupted. It's not right. There's just these subliminal things, and you get this the whole time throughout this movie. So what I've done, once again, I've just taken some notes. I've gone through some things here. I'm just going to share with you my observations. So once again, we're starting out the movie when, and this is right before the fit hits the shanty, if you will. Julie Roberts and Ethan Hawke and their kids go to a local grocery store. That's where they see the Kevin Bacon's character, who, you know, driving the big pickup truck. You know, he doesn't have the electric vehicle. He's not driving around an EV. He's not being, you know, conscious of the environment, but he has this big, huge pickup truck, and it's full to the brim with supplies. It's, you know, water, food, you know, one could assume ammunition, because he just has that look that they're trying to give, that the atypical, that prepper, or that America First type person. So you already get the right from the get-go, this, they're positioning him to almost be the an enemy or an antagonistical figure. And they set this scene up very interestingly, because you know, he drives by them, or they ask him for directions or something, and he just kind of, you know, pisses them off, or, you know, whatever, and just dismisses them. And we get to the portion of the day where they're now at a beach, they're starting to relax, and then there's this ship, this big freighter, that just runs up on the beach where they're at. And it's like one of these ocean liners, these big freighters that have like the cargo boxes on them, and it just looks like these cross-Atlantic, cross-Pacific type freights that just haul goods surpluses and just things that we need. And it runs up on the seashore of the beach where they're at, and it's just like nobody's noticing, nobody's paying attention. And it's interesting because the name of the ship was called the White Lion, you know, and the White Lion, or the White Lie, as it looks like. So once again, there's a lot of these subliminal things. I might just be reading into this, but, you know, Mrs. Smith and I both watched this together, and we were both commenting, like, is that what that says? Is that what that is? You know, so it looks like the White Lie runs up on beach as the name of the ship. And then after the White Lie, or the White Lion, the ship gets run up on the beach, they just randomly go to Starbucks and get coffee like nothing ever happened. No, there was like no distress on the beach. There was really nobody freaking out afterwards. And it's like, this was such a weird thing, because it's just a random moment. And I guess now would be a good time to mention that there's going to be some spoiler alerts, but I can't imagine anybody's going to really watch or pay attention to this movie after this if you haven't already. One of the things that I noticed, and I picked up through the whole movie, is that Ethan Hawke plays just the prototypical white dude in America who is not like the Kevin Bacon character. They make the distinction between them very clear, very obvious. And Ethan Hawke, if you will, kind of is the postmodern version of Al Bundy, who, he's just completely useless, completely feckless. He, you know, if a stranger knocks on my door in the middle of the night wanting to come in, or at least in this scenario, I wouldn't allow this guy in. I don't care who he is, or what the story is, or whatever, how they look, as nice as they may look, or as, you know, ragged as they might look. This person isn't getting in, and Ethan Hawke is absolutely a character in this movie who is not able to assess any kind of leadership responsibility. He's not able to effectively assess any kind of threat. He is feckless. He is cucked. He is cold. And it is this, once again, you got to look at these things as a message. He's just the prototypical American male who is depicted as can't do anything. His wife is a Karen, just runs the roost. His kids disrespect him. The Mahershala Ali character just runs all over him. He has experiences apart from the group that it just, there's no integrity, and it's just absolute cowardice that he is just operating with. And even at the end, near the end of the movie, in one instance, he admits he can't do anything without his phone. He doesn't know how to manage if it weren't for his wife bossing him around. And that's, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it's showing, once again, this is a subliminal thing that white men are useless. Males are useless. And I'm not trying to get on a racist tip or anything like that, but the reality of it is that this is what this is projecting. This is what this is showing. And if you do watch this, you're going to get a lot of other things. So I'm interested to hear what you would have to say. So make sure you let us know. You know, but he literally, in the middle of the night, Mahershala Ali and a character who plays his daughter, just they just come in. There's no questioning. There's no line of defense, I would say, or reasonable suspicion for somebody trying to enter your home that you rent in the middle of the night. It's just like, yeah, come on in. I don't want to be thought of as a racist. I don't want to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And makes a guy a drink and welcomes him in. And you know, Julia Roberts is the strong one in this regard. She's the one who's like questions him and doesn't trust him. And there's a great deal of suspicion. And then we move on. And I'm just hitting the points. I'm trying to do it in a somewhat a narrative way. But there's just a lot going on that it kind of throws you off track, but if you're discerning, you're going to see this. So that day that Mahershala Ali comes, all of a sudden, that's when everything, the breakdown starts. You start to see on the TV screens the emergency broadcast system. There's no blaring on the TV. That's literally all it is. There's no internet. There's no phone. The grid is completely shut down. And what they claim is that there are cyber attacks all across America. And one scene, Julia Roberts gets these news alerts on her phone. And normally when I get an alert on my phone, it'll stay there until I delete it. But you see one scene, she was saying, no, look, this is the information I got. There were a cyber attack. It shut down the grid. They were, the positioning or how I interpreted, they were blaming the Russians or they were blaming a terrorist group inside of America. And you can, you know, look at that however you like. But at one moment, she's showing her husband and Mahershala Ali's character these alerts, and they magically disappear, and it leads to lends to the paranoia, makes them look more crazy. They keep bringing up the subject of animals. Now, you see, their daughter is a really odd bird, and she has this weird fixation with nature, like it's she can read nature, and you see these deer that look sick all throughout. You see birds that just kind of die in midair, and you see that there is some kind of ecological disaster accompanying these cyber attacks, which it's just this weird pre-predictive thing that the end of the world is happening because of global warming, basically, is my interpretation of it. There's one point when Ethan Hawke is out and about and he sees what he believes is a missile. Once again, the grid is completely down. You know, everyone is locked in their house and he's not seeing anybody. He's trying to drive around to get some supplies because as they were mocking Kevin Bacon's character for being positioning himself beforehand, they're like, oh, look at that nut, that mega nut buying all this water and food. They didn't have anything at the time. He goes out and is like, I'm going to try to get information. I'm going to try to get whatever groceries or whatever resources I can. He sees a rocket, and there are these pamphlets that are flying through the air, and they just make him out of his mind afraid as possible. It's quite funny, actually, because you see these pamphlets just falling out of the sky, and he's like trying to outrun them in his car. But these pamphlets, they say death to America in Arabic, and they're just falling from the sky. What he believed was a rocket ended up being drones. It's kind of a weird narrative, but we get to see that the Teslas or the EVs are all now broken down on the side of the road. And there's an incident where they're trying to leave where they're at, but they can't because the electronic vehicles, the EVs, and then also these self-driving vehicles have now gone like Terminator, meaning they've decided to block the road. They decided to start attacking people, literally trying to crash into Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke's characters as they're trying to escape. And it's just like weird James Cameron-esque dystopic Terminator thing that's going on. So, and we do see that in these ecological disasters that these electronic vehicles, these EVs, just break down. They're not reliable at all in that regard. And the roads are all blocked off that they just can't make an effective escape. So as time goes on, the Mahershala Ali character begins to talk more with Julia Roberts' character, and he begins to allude that he has some kind of a position where he works with people who are of an elite status. He alludes and describes to a group like Bilderberg, like these globalists. He refers to that as a cabal of these powerful people that coordinate and control all the events in the world and everything that happens. And he hesitantly tells this to Julia Roberts, and she doesn't believe him. She's like, that's impossible. That can't be. But the interesting thing is that the narrative of everything that they're talking about in this dystopic, almost post-apocalyptic experience here really mirrors events that we see in our world now. There is an element of Orwellian doublethink, because as Mahershala Ali is telling Julia Roberts about this cabal, there's also this counter-narrative with Ethan Hawke and with the children, that there is no one in control. All this stuff is just going on by happenstance. And it's this Orwellian doublethink where it's like, well, no, this is what's happening, but this isn't what's happening. And we see that confusion in the media right now. We hear and see different things in this movie where, in conjunction with an ecological disaster, in conjunction with cyber attacks shutting down the grid, that there are also an invasion and occupation from foreign armies that are happening. So it's like this perfect storm that's brewing. An interesting thing that is said in one moment from Mahershala Ali's daughter to him as he's beginning to build this relationship with Julia Roberts, which in some regards looks like it has the potential to become adulterous. Mahershala Ali is married, and obviously Julia Roberts' character is married to Ethan Hawke's character. His daughter says, trust shouldn't be given out easily, especially the white people. And what's interesting is these are the kind of things that this movie is full of. It's full of this identity politics. It's full of this race baiting. And a statement like that is purposefully divisive. In a scenario that, like, I would say that we're in currently, like, we need to bring unity. But when you're in this, where there's literally like a handful of people in the world surrounding you, you need to be unified together. And the comments like that are purposely planted and purposely fed to create a counter narrative. Now, as time goes on, and this is where things are drawing to an end, there's a heightened sense of really something bad is going to happen. And the son and daughter of Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke, that they're caught outside. They have to seek shelter in this little hut, this little cabin or shed from these deer. And with the ecological stuff, everything is tied in. The animals, the birds, the deer, everything is tied in. And there's like this narrative that they're trying to describe how everything is one and everything is tied in. But at some point, the son starts to have his teeth fall out. This weird disease, this weird thing that's happening to him where literally all of his teeth begin to fall out. And they go to seek help from the Kevin Bacon character, because they know he's prepared. They know he's, you know, ready, but how it is positioned is that he's the enemy. So Mahershala Ali and Ethan Hawke go to find Kevin Bacon. And of course, Kevin Bacon is protecting his family in this house. You know, they're fortified. I think they've done the wise thing where they knew something was happening. They were making the proper preparations. And now they're just writing things out and see what is going to happen. But in this kind of a heightened scenario, Kevin Bacon meets them with a shotgun, and there was another gun that was pulled, and things were heightened, and it's just how these things could possibly happen. But this is where, you know, he's positioned as, oh, you're trying to take care of your family, you prepared, you did this, and you're ready, and you're not going to share this medicine or share these things with my son. And he's like, I need this for my family. You know, that happened to him, it could happen to one of my, you know. And it's so, it once again, it's building more divisive narratives. And then one last thing I want to comment on, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it other than the timing of everything was very crazy, was the daughter was obsessed with watching Friends. And when they got to that house, she was literally on the last episode, which is called The Last One. And she just goes through this withdrawal that's, you know, almost fiendish. But eventually she finds this house that was rumored to have been talked about that is a safe redoubt, and breaks in. I don't know how she breaks into this, like, almost armored redoubt, but she finds that as the world has fallen around her, you know, her parents are looking for her, all this stuff, it's just building this hiding and tension. And she breaks into this house, turns on all the lights, is starting to waste all the resources, but she finds that Friends was on DVD, and she finds that last episode. And I thought the thing that was interesting about this is, one, it was called The Last One. Once again, in my estimation, more predictive programming, but also with the recent death of Matthew Perry, I just thought there's just some weird thing. So these are all the points that are things that I noticed, and I'm sure there was a lot more. Once again, let me know what you, if you watch this movie, what you've seen. But at one point, and this is why I decided to do this episode, at one point there was when Mahershala Ali and Ethan Hawke goes to try to find Kevin Bacon and get some resources and to get medicine for his son, Mahershala Ali begins to tell Ethan Hawke about this cabal, and he really doesn't buy it. But it was interesting what he says, and I wrote some notes, but I'm going to just kind of paraphrase it. But he goes on to talk about the first stage is called isolation, which has a power outage, hacking satellites, which stop even satellite phones from working. So even satellite phones weren't working, because there was a scene where Mahershala Ali tried to get one, and there's just no communication. Then he goes on to say, once that is done, the second stage is synchronized chaos, where the country is, quote unquote, terrorized with covert actions and misinformation. There were piercing noise, like every so often in this movie, like there was just this loud piercing noise that would literally hurt the people's ear, and they believe that this piercing noise is what started to cause the son's teeth to fall out. But regarding the cyber attacks, the ecological attacks, these drones dropping these pamphlets, America is dead with the Arabic, it was just, we see the isolation, we see the synchronized chaos, and then it says, if done successfully, the third stage will happen on its own, a coup d'etat, civil war, collapse. This program was considered the most effective way to destabilize a country, because if the target nation was dysfunctional enough, it would, in essence, do the work for you. Whoever started this wants us to finish it. This is the thing that ties the apocalypse together. So what we see, GH, who is this shadowy guy who is tied into this cabal somehow, he says he's a financial advisor, but it doesn't really add up when you look at the house, you look at everything he has. He goes on to talk about isolation, then he goes on to talk about synchronized chaos, and then the country will be terrorized, with these cyber attacks, so on and so forth, and then a coup d'etat or a civil war and a societal collapse is a third stage. And it's just really interesting how what hit me is the mirroring that we see, that everything that happened with COVID last couple of years, that was a great isolation. So many people started being sent home, where they work from their home. There's this great isolation, even in regards to like Uber Eats, or you have these places that will drop off your groceries so you don't have to leave. There's this more and more isolation that we see. And now we're starting to see the synchronized chaos. Wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, we're beginning to see a rises of quote-unquote disease X, or obviously we're entering into election year. The chaos that is being caused with that, there is so much destabilization. You hear about these illegal aliens crossing the border and the potentiality of homegrown terror cells, and which is a real thing. It's a synchronized chaos. And then it basically goes on to say, well, whoever started this, whoever got the ball rolling, basically after the isolation, after the synchronized chaos happens, there will be a civil war, there'll be a societal collapse. And I think it's just interesting that the Obamas, who really are behind so much of this, is producing this movie with these kind of narratives. And, once again, I am a conspiracy theorist. I'm not going to make any apologies for that. However, I believe we need to start paying attention, because you can look at this movie and just take it as entertainment, although it wasn't an entertaining movie. The reason I took so many notes is because right off the bat, I'm like, this something doesn't sit well with me. And even, Mrs. Smith, as we were watching it, we're just like, what, huh? And it's just a lot of this predictive programming. So I can't say anything about this movie that I would recommend. What I can say is there's a lot of interesting things that are in this movie that we have already seen, or that we're beginning to potentially see play out, where they predictively program people to say, well, the end result is chaos. It is civil war. It is societal collapse. And I'm just telling you guys to think about it. You know, there's a slew of these kind of films. I know the Obamas are behind a couple of the other ones. There's one coming out called Civil War, which is literally where America breaks into a civil war. There's different factions in Civil War. It's by a studio called A24, which is known for making very thoughtful, thought-provoking horror movies. They made one called It Comes at Night, which was a great movie. It's kind of like a zombie apocalypse movie. If you get a chance to watch it, it's very interesting. But it's this high thought, high philosophical kind of horror. And they're not really known for making these kind of movies. But, you know, it's the idea of like the purge. You know, there's these things that are happening. So I just want to encourage you guys, you know, if you want to watch it, check it out. It is on Netflix. It's well made, professionally done, great cast, you know, Leave the World Behind. But I just want to tell you guys that there are things in this year that we're going to be discussing, we're going to be bringing out, that's going to have a lot to do with this type of information. So, you know, thanks for listening. Just listen, think about what I said. I could be wrong, could be off. Who knows, you know? But I just think it's interesting that now, at the end of last year, now we're in 2024, that the Obamas, who are very potential that Michelle, aka Big Mike, is going to be running in the or announcing soon that she's going to be one of the contenders for the Democratic Party for the 2024 presidential election. Roger Stone has said that. Other people have said that. I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. But it seems plausible to me. But you have heavyweight talent. Julia Roberts, Mahershala Ali, Ethan Hawke, Kevin Bacon. These are major motion picture actors, motion picture stars, if you will. And they're joining forces with the Obamas to produce this predictive program, thought out pre-post-apocalyptic or pre-post-dystopic real-life scenario that could happen. And I love these post-apocalyptic movies. I really do. I just enjoy them. But there is something that doesn't sit well with those versus something like The Road Warrior, for example, you know, or whatever. The Road, you know, it just, the description of how things happen and knowing that the people behind it have their hand on the pulse, if you will, it's just kind of eerie. So I once again, I wanted to kick off this year with just an extra thought or an extra shot, something little fun, if you will, something just to get your thought provoked and just to have you start to discern, look around, don't take things at face value. And I hope you enjoy this. Be on the lookout for more episodes. Do want to thank everybody for hanging in there with us. Thank you for coming back and joining us. We got some good stuff coming up this year. I think God's going to begin to open some doors and be drawing us all closer to Him. And I believe more wisdom and revelation is going to be coming out as we are going to need it. So remember, please share this episode. You can find us anywhere. Podcasts are Apple, Google Play, Breaker, Spotify. You can find, it's all under Flawedcast, CLE. We're on Rumble under Flawed Inc. You can find us on the Project Mockingbird social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on Gab and Getter. You can also find a link below, a copy of my book, Smith's Art of Manner Repair Manual. Our email is flawedincle@gmail.com. So I hope you have a great, great holiday season and get ready for what we're going to be bringing in the next coming weeks and months.